Jeff Bezos is one of the most well-known corporate executives in America. He founded Amazon and grew it into one of the largest and most successful companies in the world. So when he stepped down last year, his successor, Andy Jassy, had big shoes to fill. Our colleague Dana Mattioli covers the company.
Andy Jassy took over from Jeff Bezos last July 5th, and I don't think it's been the year he quite expected. So when he took over, Amazon was riding this pandemic high. You'll probably remember everyone relied on them. It was like the great toilet paper rush, and then it was the sanitizer rush, and then people were buying puzzles, and they just really couldn't even keep up with demand.
I was just looking back at my credit card statements from 2020, and like Amazon was like at the top of the list every month, but the number one place I was spending all my money.
I think you're indicative of a lot of the country, to be honest.
And all that spending meant the company was making lots of money.
They smashed earnings, and they were, you know, one of the biggest beneficiaries of the virus.
Some Amazon numbers here, guys. Revenue, $89 billion. Forecast was for $81.4 billion. Of course, that was already an elevated forecast.
Wow. They crushed it. They absolutely crushed it. I mean, on the top.
But in the years since Jassy took over, Amazon has been having a hard time.
Amazon has reported its first quarterly loss since 2015. The company reported a loss of over $3.8 billion.
Right now, you're seeing Amazon shares being obliterated, down more than 10% here in the pre-market.
Amazon, you know, is going through one of its worst financial stretches in its history now. It's the slowest growth we've seen in two decades. They're having a little bit of a tough time.
And for Jassy, the new CEO?
Now he's got like this massive cleanup job to do in his first year. Wall Street's not happy. Employees aren't happy.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Thursday, June 16th. Coming up on the show, Andy Jassy's big problem at Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
The problems that Andy Jassy is facing now have their roots at the start of the pandemic. In early 2020, that surge in demand for toilet paper and everything else meant Amazon was crushed by an overwhelming number of orders.
We're talking about day after day, month after month of orders coming in like it's Black Friday. So normally during that type of demand, which is the holiday season, you know, they have a month of onboarding new people to handle the influx of orders, and there's training, and, you know, this is something that they have like a very well-oiled machine to handle. COVID comes. There's no on-ramping people. There's no preparing for it. All of a sudden, the orders are coming in fast and furious, and a few things are happening. There's not enough people in the warehouses to fulfill them because they're not at their peak hiring. Oh, and also their people are getting sick, right? They're in a warehouse. No one's wearing masks yet. They're getting COVID. And, you know, orders went from being two-day shipping to going over a month for some items or being completely sold out. So this wasn't the Amazon that people knew and loved in those beginning days. There's a lot of frustration, both from customers, but also internally, that they weren't getting items out the door quick enough.
Amazon was overwhelmed, and its internal forecasting system was predicting that this big surge in demand might not be going away anytime soon.
So they have this forecasting model called SCOT, which is Supply Chain Optimization Technologies, which is a mouthful.
And SCOT? They call it SCOT?
Yes, S-C-O-T.
That sounds like a nerdy coworker. Like, I imagine SCOT is like Milton from Office Space, like a short-sleeve button-up t-shirt with a tie. Maybe a mustache.
Glasses and pocket protector of...
Asking about where his stapler is.
So Scott is this, it's like this long revered piece of technology that helps Amazon predict demand and output. And during the pandemic, you know, they use Scott a lot. And it spits out three different projections, a low projection, a medium projection, and a high projection. And during those early months, the reality was like surpassing the highest projection Amazon was getting from Scott. So they started picking the highest one. And that meant that they didn't have enough capacity based on Scott's models. This isn't to say that they would just take it blindly, right? Scott would give a prediction and people would analyze it and there'd be other inputs and there'd be some human interaction, right? But I think what we all know is that a lot of the forecasting during the pandemic went a bit haywire, that a lot of these systems and processes were not built for these types of events.
Right, because, I mean, what experience does Scott have in a global pandemic?
Scott doesn't know when the pandemic's going to end. No one knew.
Figuring out what to do with all this information fell to a senior Amazon executive named Dave Clark.
So Dave Clark, he grew up at Amazon. He's been there 23 years, and he's largely responsible from it going from a bookseller to the everything store. And he created this massive, massive web of logistics that rivals UPS and FedEx, right? That's no small undertaking.
And Clark, with the approval of then-CEO Jeff Bezos, made a decision. The company would build as many warehouses as it took and hire as many people as it took to meet all this demand.
I don't know if you remember this, but early days of the pandemic, lots of companies were laying people off, right? And Amazon was probably one of the biggest net hirers during the pandemic, even to the point where we had a story that people that had white-collar jobs that were laid off were taking warehouse jobs at Amazon because that's the only place that was hiring. And this is already one of the biggest companies in the world when it comes to that. And they also hired up 800,000 people. That's more than the workforces of...
800,000 people?
Yes. I mean, they added that many during this period of time. That's more than Costco and UPS, their whole workforces combined.
And also, it's more than like the city of Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Not only did Amazon go on a hiring spree, it also massively expanded its logistics network. It opened hundreds of new warehouses, sorting centers, and other facilities, and it made plans to grow even further. So Amazon's response to the demand from the pandemic was basically just to, like, go all in and, like, hire everybody that they needed to hire and build more warehouses and just meet the demand.
That's right. And, you know, I spoke to someone who said, we looked at the demand, we looked at our capacity, and we sort of held our hands and we did it. You know, they knew this was like a huge expense and they knew that the pandemic would end at some point. But in that time, given the data they had to do this.
And for a while, it worked. Amazon was able to meet the surging demand and make a lot of money in the process. From 2020 through 2021, the company's revenue grew by a total of 2/3 and its profits nearly tripled. This was the situation that Andy Jassy stepped into when he became CEO last summer.
He takes over when outwardly to everyone else, Amazon is crushing it. They just had record earnings and they're still riding the pandemic high.
But behind the scenes?
They're starting to see cracks in the infrastructure and they're starting to see this downward trend that capacity is higher than demand. And that would become like a months-long trend that they had to really react to in real time.
That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source,
all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Andy Jassy has a long history at Amazon, but not in its retail business.
So Andy Jassy has been at Amazon for 25 years, and he is the person who helped pioneer all of cloud computing.
The big AWS, Amazon Web Services money machine that they have.
Yes, he helped build it from the ground up, and that technology underpins almost everything we do, right? So this is a massive money maker. If it weren't part of Amazon, it's one of the biggest tech companies in the world. It's that big.
Jassy went from being the leader of the most lucrative division at Amazon to overseeing the entire company. And when he did that, he started noticing some issues.
You know, as any new CEO would do, he starts meeting with all the business heads, right, to learn about it because he oversaw something very different from the rest of Amazon. And in those meetings with the logistics and retail arms, they presented him with their reports that showed that the capacity was outpacing the orders and that they were going to have to start revising their initial plans because they were no longer accurate.
Jassy began to realize that Amazon's estimates had overshot things. The company had added too much warehouse space, and people weren't buying as much stuff online as they were at the start of the pandemic.
And then it becomes apparent to him through the logistics team that, you know, there's a problem that's brewing. And that problem is that they have too much capacity relative to orders, right? As the months go on, it just becomes more and more apparent that they've overshot.
And when Omicron hit, things got even worse.
Omicron started surfacing before the holidays, and it was obviously a lot more contagious than any other variant we'd seen up until that point. So a few things happened. All of a sudden, a lot of Amazon's warehouse workers got really sick and had to stay home, right? So they didn't have enough people in their warehouses to fill orders. And customers stayed home during that in order to not get sick. Or they were sick and they were shopping from home. So they had a lot more orders coming in. A lot of the warehouse workers got sick during that period and had to take 2 weeks off. So Amazon made a decision to add more workers. So I think the first quarter they added 14,000 workers. And then Omicron came and went really fast. What happens was Omicron recedes. Shoppers stop ordering as much as they were. And all of a sudden, Amazon has all of their original workers and these new workers back. And that's expensive.
So the workers that were out sick are now back on. And all these workers that they had hired to replace them are there too.
Exactly. And so now for the first time in the entire pandemic in nearly 2.5 years, they go from being chronically understaffed to being really overstaffed.
The problem for Amazon was a big one. The company said earlier this year that all this excess warehouse and logistics capacity would contribute to $10 billion in extra costs during the first half of 2022. And the company's stock price has fallen by more than a third since Jassy took over, wiping out more than $600 billion in the company's market value. And so Jassy and Dave Clark, the head of online retail, start devising a plan to try and fix the issues with overstaffing and extra warehouse space. They decide to thin out the worker base through attrition and suspend expansion in their warehouses.
So instead of building on that land and creating these really expensive warehouses with robots and machinery and hiring for them, they're going to defer that. They're going to sublet some of these, a lot of them actually, like around 10 million plus square feet of that.
The plan was presented to Amazon's board and to Jeff Bezos, who serves as executive chairman.
You know, it was really well received by Jeff Bezos. I was told that by people who were in that meeting. The board was enthusiastic about it. I was told that Dave Clark presented it really confidently, and it wasn't like a downtrodden sort of meeting. It was like confidence, and we're going to do this, and here's how we're going to execute. So there was some surprise among some of those attendees that the next week he left.
Clark, the man who led Amazon's retail business and who came up with the plan to fix the company's capacity issues, decided to step down.
I mean, couldn't be more inconvenient timing, if you think about it. Just the week before he left, he had presented this giant 3-year plan to Amazon's board, and leadership team about how Amazon gets out of the spot that it's in now and where they go from here. And now they don't have anyone to execute on that. They haven't named a successor yet.
Why did he quit?
Well, he quit for a few reasons. First of all, he was tired from having managed through the pandemic where his org was just flat out, right? And then secondly, this was, you know, a 23-year vet of Amazon who was used to a lot of autonomy under Jeff Bezos. His team only presented to Jeff and, you know, the management team a few times a year. And then when Andy came in, these became weekly metrics reviews, and it was a lot more intense. And Andy was very involved in that business. So people around Dave Clark have told me that he, you know, he bristled at the day-to-day sort of leadership and interference.
What is this going to mean for Amazon going forward?
Well, I think a few things. I think this is a big test for Andy Jassy and his management style as he's taking over this sprawling company. He went from running one piece of it, and he was very involved there and very in the weeds, and everyone knew his style of management. But as he makes the rounds and oversees these other giant pieces of Amazon where there are leaders that could easily go off and run publicly traded companies as CEOs on their own, that level of involvement, you know, it could risk rubbing those leaders the wrong way. There has been a lot of impatience and I think some blame placed on Jassy. And when I speak to people around him, they say it's kind of misguided. Because if you think about what Andy's managing through right now, these were decisions made by Jeff Bezos and the leadership team before Andy was CEO. You know, a lot of these decisions were made 2 years ago, and he's having to manage through them.
What does what's happening to Amazon say about where we are right now in the economy?
I just think it shows how unpredictable this economy is for any leader, between managing inflation, supply chain issues, all these other, you know, events that are very unpredictable. If Amazon, which, you know, I think has been lauded as being one of the bellwethers of figuring this stuff out and being data-driven and getting things right, got it wrong. I mean, what does that mean for everyone else?
Yeah, if a fancy computer program called Scott can't figure it out, then what luck do we have? That's all for today, Thursday, June 16th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like the show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.